Well. Looks like the FBI finally took House Republicans seriously when they promised to begin holding a contempt of Congress hearing against the Bureau's director, Christopher Wray. In a last-minute effort, the FBI gave in and agreed to allow the House Oversight Committee to view a confidential document that reveals a tip the FBI received regarding bribery allegations against Joe Biden. Committee Chairman James Comer announced he would no longer be holding a contempt of Congress vote after Wray agreed to comply. The chairman reacted to reporters by saying, quote, after weeks of refusing to even admit the FD 1023 record exists, the FBI has caved and is now allowing all members of the Oversight and Accountability Committee to review this unclassified record that memorializes the confidential human sources conversations with a foreign national who claimed to have bribed then Vice President Joe Biden. Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability. Allowing all oversight committee members to review this record is an important step towards conducting oversight of the FBI and holding it accountable to the American people. Let's be clear, the allegations contained within this record are not closed, as the White House and Democrats would have the American people believe. Former Attorney General Barr confirmed this information was sent to the U.S. Attorney in Delaware for further investigation, and the FBI has confirmed it is being used in an ongoing investigation. We also know the confidential human source who provided this information is highly credible and trusted, has worked with the FBI for over a decade, and has been paid six figures. So now that Comer is ditching the 17-page contempt of Congress report, will House Republicans finally get the information it needs to get to the bottom of these Joe Biden bribery allegations? And join us now to discuss is FBI whistleblowers Kyle Serafin, and for the first time joining us, Garrett O'Boyle. We're so happy to have both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Emerald. Good to see you again.
Garrett, I want to start with you. House Republicans are canceling their plan to hold Wray in contempt. You just recently testified in front of Congress in very compelling testimony. Do you think this is a sign that the Bureau is taking House Republicans' threats to hold the FBI accountable seriously? Or is this the case of Republicans giving in to the FBI? I know a lot of Americans are out there are going to be skeptical based on the track record, let's be honest, of Congress and holding the FBI accountable. What's your thoughts, Garrett?
I think it's the Republicans kind of caving here. You know, it's been weeks now where the FBI wouldn't even acknowledge the existence of the 1023. Now we get closer to possible contempt charges, and then they get ditched in the last minute. And I think the American people have realized that the FBI is far too powerful. It has far outgrown any semblance of what a law enforcement agency should be in this country. And it'll be interesting to see going forward what happens with this 1023. I was reading some legacy media this morning about it, and they indicated that a 1023 is for unverified source reporting. And although that can be true, I think they're really trying to already waylay the American people into indicating that that's always the case, when that really isn't necessarily always true, especially with a source like this that has been vetted for over 10 years and paid such an amount by the FBI. It's really disappointing to see members in the legacy media and FBI and other sectors of government trying to brush this under the rug like they often do.
Kyle, I want to ask you about the sensitivity of this 1023 form. Of course, the FBI is suggesting it's, you know, shouldn't, it has to be so protected. Is that the case, or are they overplaying it to try to save face and not actually comply with Congress?
Well, I think that Director Wray has contempt for the American people, and he shows it by showing contempt for the representatives of the people in Congress. That just seems to be pretty self-evident to those of us who are watching from the outsides right now. The 1023 is a document that immortalizes the testimonial or the information brought to a special agent by an FBI source. But one of the critical things that happens when you have a source, you have to give them a series of advisements known as admonishments. And they're given them multiple times per year to remind them that even though the relationship is confidential, and even though the FBI will do their best to protect the identity of the source, they can't guarantee that they're going to keep them out of the public, that they're going to keep them away from testimony, or that they won't actually be exposed for doing what they're doing. It is a voluntary relationship, which is hammered home to these people. They are engaging in it on their own free will, and the possibility is they may get involved in an investigation that exposes their name and who they are and what they've brought to the FBI. So there is no guarantee. Of course, the FBI always hides behind the idea that they're going to try to protect sources and methods. Those are almost always reserved for technical sources, which is to say some of the very secret technologies the Bureau uses along with the rest of the intelligence community to gain information about nation states. Those are really the most important sort of sources and the methods that they try to protect. When it comes to human sources, even one that's been paid, you know, an average of $20,000 per year, which, by the way, is a substantial amount of money for a source. It's actually, yeah. I would bet that Garrett probably hasn't had a source that's been paid 20 grand a year. You know, they're still not guaranteed that anonymity or that confidentiality.
Yeah, I mean, he's received pretty handsome compensation for the risk that he takes on for being an informant. And speaking of compensation, whistleblowers don't necessarily have that same kind of protection, as we know, and that was raised heavily in the hearing that you were a part of, Garrett, and something that really touched a chord with lots of people. Case in point, Kyle, you were able to raise fundraise over $500,000. I mean, amazing, for your FBI whistleblowers crowdsource fund. You later provided both Agents O'Boyle and Marcus Allen, who we also saw in that hearing, with a check for over $255,000. Now, you'll recall, our audience will, because we play that over and over, the kind of struggles that these families took on because of the bravery exhibited by these whistleblowers and their sense of duty to the American Constitution. But of course, fortunately, no good deed goes unpunished. Kyle, you recently tweeted that the Washington Post reporter named Jacqueline Alemany, who I know quite well, I used to have to work beside her at the White House, had reached out to you. Alemany was poking around trying to get more details on the crowdsource funding. She specifically asked you if both agents have accepted the checks. You reminded the pretend journalists that they've not accepted it yet, as you publicly stated. But then, Kyle, you asked a follow-up question. You asked Alemany if the source she was working on would also cover the crowdsource donation Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok so proudly took in. And we wanted to know, too, so we slid into Alemany's direct messages as well. We asked her if her piece would include McCabe, Strzok, and the crowdsource donation Vice President Kamala Harris advocated for that later were used to free a suspect accused of raping a child. Now, sadly, the Washington Post, quote-unquote, reporter didn't return a request for comment, so, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. And, of course, if she does, we'll update our audience. So, Kyle, did you get a response from Jacqueline?
She said, thanks so much. I'll, you know, we'll be looking into it, or that's very helpful. That was kind of the end of the conversation. She was pretty clearly looking for some ability to hammer these whistleblowers, these gentlemen who have come forward with credible allegations. That's all they have to do. They have to be reasonable. And they are, who have lost their paychecks for over a year. Garrett's coming up on the year mark. Marcus is well over a year. And, you know, these guys were in danger of losing their homes. Garrett was without a home for a period of time. And it's totally absurd that we're going to have a Washington Post now run cover for the government. When I was growing up, I keep saying this over and over again, but the kids aren't punk rock anymore. There used to be a time when young people and people in the journalistic community loved to hold the powerful accountable. And right now, I think they are tripping over themselves to lick the boots of the government and do the bidding of the DOJ and the FBI and trying to smear these really brave men. So, and you know, nobody's ever called my integrity into question. I lost my job over it. That was pretty straightforward and easy. I don't have a problem doing so. When someone from the Washington Post thinks that we're going to just play ball and answer because she's from, quote unquote, the Post, capital T, capital P, I'm not impressed. I grew up around journalists who were serious, who went out there and exposed people for malfeasance and wrongdoing and really were blue collar types that just did the hard work of, you know, sharing information with the American public. So anyway, Jacqueline can say whatever she wants. I had a same experience this morning with the gentleman who represents the Society of Former FBI Agents. And And he also wanted to know what sort of accountability board and auditing process I was going to be putting out. And the answer is none. I'm going to be putting out checks to my friends. I'm going to be taking money, which is not even real money to me. It just came in. It's life-changing for them, but it was never my money. So why would I ever think that I would keep a penny of it? It's going to all be sent over, split between Garrett and Marcus, and we're going to keep their families afloat. It's very straightforward stuff.
You know, Darren Beatty with Revolver News often says to me and on this show that the best thing we could do for our country going forward is establish a very good whistleblower fund and protect these whistleblowers. That actually that's more important than the campaign dollars that you give to all these people running for public office that don't, you know, often do anything, as we see, about the situation or trying to protect our whistleblowers. Garrett, I want to get back to you because, again, your testimony before the committee was so compelling, and I have to say I was personally gutted when you talked about being moved across the country and having a new baby, and they literally, you know, drop you on that day. I just went through that in my mind. I'm a mom, I'm a parent. It was gut-wrenching. You've sort of been going through this on your own silently with your family, and then you are at this committee hearing, and, you know, what has the response been like for you and your family now that your story is out there?
It's been overwhelming, Emerald, and by and large, very positive, other than trolls on the internet or from the Washington Post or people like Dan Goldman as well. But the people who truly matter in my life have been very supportive. And it's been a rush of even more support from church and from friends and family, and you know, from people like Kyle. Kyle and I were in touch over these months while I wasn't public, and I never expected the response like this. I am very grateful. You know, I praise the Lord that he just was able to use me in a way to strike a chord with so many people in this country, because I couldn't have done it alone. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit could that have been accomplished. And I'm grateful to continue to speak up now and continue to shine a light on the darkness that the FBI wants to continue to hide. And then on top of that, for my family, it has been a very unique time, I guess, because we are pretty private people. And now to be thrust into the spotlight like this has been interesting, to say the least, and to lose the sense of anonymity that I had. But you know, God is establishing this path and establishing our steps. And so we have to just continue to trust in him as best as we can and move forward. And I'm grateful for people like Kyle and Steve and you and others who want to hear from people like us and can see through the thin veil that the FBI continues to try to mask itself with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to get back to the idea of protecting whistleblowers and this fund that you set up, Kyle. I would imagine you're probably getting contacted by some would-be whistleblowers. Do we expect a lot more to come forward now?
I think people have seen the kind of scrutiny that you get in this country when you step forward. You're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your pension, and even trading it for $250,000, which is a lot of money. There's no question about it. People in America open their hearts and they open their wallets, and they're taking care of these guys. And yet, $250,000 is 2 years' salary. And guys like Garrett, you know, guys like me, we sacrificed 15-plus years that we were going to be having stability and then a pension that was going to last for a very long time. An FBI's pension anywhere between $50,000 and $75,000 by the time you add some of the, you know, the other benefits you get on there. These guys are making $80,000 or $85,000 a year just by doing their job. And that's the way it's always been. It's always been kind of a safe job. Nobody gets rich, but nobody goes broke. And so the idea that people are going to turn around and sacrifice this, you know, people like Marcus Allen doing the same thing just because they know what's right. We've had a lot of time. You know, we've been out in the public. Guys like Steve and I have been out there talking about it. I don't expect a flood of it. I think that we might see one or two who reach their limit. Everybody has a filter. And when that filter fills up and they can't take it anymore, you know, they can no longer make excuses. Then they sometimes will turn and they can always come to me. They can find me. My DMs are open at Twitter. I'm more than happy to share my Signal account with folks that have, you know, credible allegations. And I will connect them to the places that we are connected to. Once we kind of vet who they are. And I think people who are in our former jobs understand that sort of process. There's enough people that know my name inside the FBI. There's enough people that watch my podcast and so on, which is very flattering and funny, including people that don't like us. So anyway, it is what it is. We'll see.
Yeah, and I know we're focusing more on the whistleblowers, but I think it's very important than maybe the FBI situation ongoing. But I think it's really important that we understand how to support whistleblowers. I would also think that future employment is the issue as well, right? I know I've talked to whistleblowers in the past that had nothing to do with what's going on with the FBI now, but from 10, 15 years ago, and it's very hard to get employment after they've been a whistleblower and they're targeted by the bureau. Shouldn't there be something going forward to help with maybe future employment? Would you both say? I mean, I think that's an idea that should get thrown out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That is, lots of people have been asking what's next, and the answer is I don't know. I'm going to continue doing these type of things, but overall, long term, I don't know. What does a former FBI agent, police officer, infantry veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan do next? I don't have a clue at this point.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're trusting God, and I'm sure that He's going to lead you in the right direction and prepare your footsteps and for your bravery and your courage. And I do want to say that as a reminder, as we're talking about it, if you want to really make the FBI and the libs mad, really own them, and these journalists at the Washington Post, or just support these great FBI whistleblowers, you can head over to their Gifts and Go page and search for support suspended FBI whistleblowers, support suspended FBI whistleblowers. And I do think there needs to be an ongoing conversation because I see it so much. And on the left, they always have a job lined up. There's or a book deal, right, or something like that. So I think that's the next step in looking at. I think you've built something great to start with, Kyle. But I think that's probably the next step forward is engaging on the employment side as well. Thank you both for being here. We're so glad to talk to you, Garrett, and thank you for what you've done and your bravery. And as always, Kyle, you know we thank you. We love you.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
having us
I'm
on.
really glad to be here. Yep.